escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, you're on the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Another day of training camp. Day six, in fact, in the books out here. And let's hear from the head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans, on his thoughts on day six and more right now.
D'Amico, getting back a player like Petrie to center a couple of days, is it kind of getting him just back into the football mode and kind of
Petrie is good. He's back out at practice. He's good. Same guy he's been. So nothing to report there.
I know you talked recently about Sheldon Rankins, but you know, after not having him play this year, why were y'all really interested in having him back?
I was really interested in getting Sheldon back just because knowing the type of player that he was when he was here, like the leadership that he provided. You know, I think him and Will had a really great connection their first year together, and you know, really wanted to keep Sheldon. So it was really tough seeing him go, you know, leave us, go to Cincinnati. That was a tough one because we were really working hard to get him back. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but it's all about the right time, and it worked out this year, and so we're happy to have him back to our team.
What are some of the improvements that you're seeing on the offensive side of the ball now that you all have had the pads on for 2 days?
You see it, you know, things evening out more when you put the pads on. You know, defense kind of had the advantage there early on. We weren't in pass. Defense was making a lot of plays. And now to see things balancing themselves out. Offense is making plays daily. Our quarterbacks are doing a really nice job just placing the football in the right spot. And our receivers are making some really tough, contested catches. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a tough, physical football team. And you can't lose sight of that play on the outside from the receivers, the DBs, how those guys play. That's the makers of a really physical team. So Jaden Higgins, he stepped up, made some really nice catches. Noel Hutchinson has done a really good job this year playing physical. Really doing a great job at the catch point as well. We got a lot of guys on the offensive side who are getting, you know, really better, and it really jumps out in that receiver room to me.
On the offensive line, Tomlinson, what does he bring, maybe not just on the field but off the field, as you try to improve the line from last year?
What Lakin brings to our team, you know, off the field, it starts with his work ethic. I just remember him, he first came in our OTA, our OTA program, just the way he worked. Like, he did a great job just establishing himself as a hard worker and for guys just to watch him. Lakin, he didn't have to say much, but you just watch his actions, watch how he went about his work. And I think a lot of our younger guys can glean a lot from that. Like, man, this guy is about his business. He's been in the league over 10 years. Why does a guy like that stick around? It's going to start with the work ethic, especially at such a tough position that he plays up front in the interior offensive line. Like, those guys, you know, it's a very physical game up there. They take a pounding. Lakin does a great job of not only working hard, but also recovering the right way, taking care of his body the right way. So I think he can really help a lot of our guys when it comes to that area of the game off the field that no one sees, to allow you to be your best when you step out on the field. Lakin has excelled at that, you know, from the beginning of his career to now. Will has done a really good job of just taking his game to the next level when it comes to his pass rush. I haven't seen a person that's more dialed in when it comes to, like, what moves he's trying to execute, right? Really, and not predetermining moves, but truly playing instinctive, playing off of what the set, the offensive line is giving him, whether he needs to play speed to power, whether he needs to be a little more finesse, working the edge, right, working the inside. But he's just doing a really great job of really developing that pass rush repertoire. And him working with Coach Rod and working with Daniil, and you see the growth, you see the improvement. I talk about Will all the time as that relentless player and what we represent as a Texan. But it's also, he represents that part of that growth factor and what I love to see from all of our guys. And you can see, you know, this year, I know he's going to be a much better pass rusher than he was last year, just because of the work that he's put in all throughout the offseason and now in training camp is still growing each and every day. And I have to keep him away from a quarterback because he's getting a little too close. But he's doing a great job.
You know, along those lines with Eric Stewart Jr., he's always looking to get better and work hard. What do you see from him as a chance to just continue to make specific improvements to his game?
Well, Stingley, what I've seen from him throughout camp, Stingley is just consistent. He's quiet over there on the edge, and that's what it takes to be a really great corner. There shouldn't be a lot happening your way because a lot of people don't want to go your way. But him and Nico, they go at it every single day. Those two of our best guys, they match up against each other every rep. And that's good on good every single time. Those guys, they sharpen each other every time they're out here. So Sting has continued to be steady, picking up right where he left off.
You know, it's not ideal to have a couple of your running backs now, but how beneficial is it to have these added reps for a new guy like Nick who's getting used to the system and for younger guys to get
in training camp, right, you never know what's going to happen. So as a player, my message is you have to be ready. When you do have the opportunity to get more reps, you have to take advantage of those reps. And you take advantage of them by, man, knowing what to do in the meetings and coming out on the field and being able to execute the right way. Nick has done that. Woody's done that. All the guys, Jawar, Darre, those guys have done a great job of just being ready to go. And those guys are getting a lot of reps. Hopefully those reps pay off as those guys see more throughout training camp, but the backs are doing a great job. Coach Danny Barrett, as always, is continuing to do an outstanding job as our running backs coach, and I really love working with Danny. Appreciate what he's done working with those guys.
Coach, when you first time playing forward, what do you remember the first time you assumed that role? Did it have an experience with the Bobby and now going to Nick? How do you prepare for that being the first time you do it? What do you remember? And how's that experience with Bobby helping?
As a first-time play caller, it's like we talk about players, rookies, and their growth and development. It's the same with play callers. Like, you have to get reps. The only way to get better at something is you have to actually have to go out and do it. So for me, I try to do a really good job of putting guys in position, right, different situations, different scenarios all throughout practice, right, things that will come up in games. I try to make sure I'm putting those guys, you know, through those situations. So when they see them, they can go back and they have a library of, hey, we were practicing on this day. I remember this situation. This is what I call. Hey, as you go in and look at practice, sometimes you look at it. You know, myself, you're always analyzing what you did. How can you be better? You analyze it. Hey, maybe I'll call something different here. Or that would have worked. So it's always about self-evaluation as a play caller. Right? Nobody else may say anything to you, but you have to constantly be a hard critic on yourself as a play caller, knowing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to get it done. And that's, I'll continue to give the guys as many reps as possible to make sure they're ready to go come game time.
Given Nick's experience with tight end position, how do you feel that you've seen Cade and Dalton and Brevin kind of take that next jump forward and how they've kind of grown off the last season?
Our tight ends, they've been really solid all camp. Jake has done a great job of coaching those guys up. Just putting the pads on, I see guys just being on it, playing with their pads, playing physical, playing with great hand placement, the tight end position, starting there in the running game and how we're blocking at that position. And then you see the route detail and the route growth starting with Cade Stover. I've seen him develop a lot as a pass catcher running the routes. He's done a really great job at the top of his routes, executing the break points, getting open. Dalton, Scumbag, he's done a great job of being the elite pass catcher that we expected him to be. And Brevin, his explosiveness, his play at the line of scrimmage, and when he gets the ball in his hands, like that entire group, they have a lot of different things that they do well. And if you got three, four tight ends who can operate in that manner, it's going to help us. So not only Kaylee, but also Jake. And Coach Jake's done a great job with the tight end group.
So many physical players
the Texans are going to be a physical football team. That's what I believe in. If I don't like guys who don't play the game the right way, and that's being physical. Not only defensively, but offensively. Like, we're going to play field backs running behind your pass, O-line, finishing at the second level, that's what I truly believe in. And so when we come out and practice, like, we are a team. We have to work together, right? It's just when we practice, there's just no cheap shot. We still want to play physical. We're going to play between the whistles, but we don't want guys, you know, we just always talk about protecting the team, not taking a cheap shot, not going to the ground. And guys are smart enough and aware enough that they know how to practice the right way, which allows us to practice hard, but also practice in a safe manner. O-line, again, it's different guys have been in there. I think those guys are continuing to get better. And you see, it's real football. You get to block guys with pads on. I think that's just real, and that's what you see. Our guys are doing a solid job, and they're continuing to get better. Arnett is, he's taking his second chance and he's running with it, right? He's been dialed in since day one, very grateful for the opportunity to be back in the NFL, and I'm happy to be in a position to give a guy a second chance. I think in life we all need more than second chances. It's just having another chance. If we all think back on our lives and things that happen, like, you want the opportunity to have another chance at things, and he's doing a great job with it so far. All right, thank you guys.
D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, they're talking after practice, and some interesting things in there. One of them I'd like to stop down and talk about is he was, you know, obviously asked about the first-time play caller, Nick Caley, and I do love how much growth and development came through in his answer even there, right? Like, you think about the growth and development, obviously, for, like, a rookie from a coaching perspective. Growth and development that you talk about from your team just generally.
Yeah.
He seems like he is also trying to actively develop his offensive play caller as well.
I think that's clearly a priority, you know, and that's something that they're going to focus on. And I think that's where, you know, Nick Caserio comes in handy too. You know, I'm very, very familiar with this offense. The sounding board on the offensive side of the ball is legit. And I think to have a guy like Caserio who has that experience and, you know him well, you've worked with him, et cetera. And then here comes Gerard Johnson, who knows a little bit more about other types of offenses. I think that all kind of feeds into that.
I will say Caserio has said that he kind of stays out of the way when it comes to the offense.
Yeah, but he's a sounding board.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
If Nick Caley wants to go to him and they want to have a Nick with Nick kind of conversation or Nick to Nick conversation.
Yeah.
But I did find that interesting, and maybe that is part of what the defense is doing here as well. Like, hey, give him a lot of different looks on the offensive side to help him develop his play calling. I think that's where also. As they are just in various different ways, joint practices are going to matter a good amount for Nick Caley and his development. But, you know, in talking about Will Anderson Jr. and the ways that he represents a growth factor, and he said he's definitely going to be a much better pass rusher this year, which I imagine the rest of the NFL has to shudder to hear when it comes to that. But he also said, and I don't know, it sounded like he was joking, but also I imagine he didn't say that just for nothing. Got to keep him away from the quarterback. He's getting a little too close
one time. He's chomping.
Not one time, a lot of times. Yeah, last week, he was just blowing up all the damn reps.
Yeah. He's chomping at the bit. The other thing that stood out to me, and if you're a Texans fan, you have to be happy with this. Kind of the way the storyline of this whole training camp so far has gone. He alluded to early and then again late. The offense is kind of the offense defense, you know, sort of edge is kind of balancing out. And I think it's good to hear because we know the defense is really good. They dominated early, especially on Saturday. And now the offense is kind of catching up a little bit. That's what you want to hear, that the offense, which leads to Nick Caley as the play caller and leads to C.J. Stroud as the quarterback, and their development as an offense to be able to see them do a little bit better against this defense.
How'd you take his comments on the tight end room? First and foremost, I know
exactly what I've been saying.
He mentioned three guys.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, started with Cade Stover, talked about Dalton Schultz, calling him an elite pass catcher, and then mentioned Brevin and his explosiveness. Didn't get too much deeper than that. Like, does that feel like that tells you anything, or is this just kind of those are the guys that were top of mind for the head coach?
Maybe, but it validated what I think I've been seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of tight ends. It's not like, oh, Cade Stover. Now, he's gotten clearly the most love. No question about it. But it's Cade Stover, it's Dalton Schultz, it's Brevin Jordan, it's Lachey occasionally. And I love that. And, by the way, a huge, huge staple in this this style of offense.
Real quick, before we move on here, because, again, appreciation to D'Amico Ryans for, you know, being as available as he is during this time period. On the text line from the 832, Cedric says, I'm hearing all kind of subliminals to Laremy Tunsil. Do you feel like you heard that as well in listening to D'Amico?
I think it's more just offense in general, but definitely that's part of it, yeah.
Talked about Lake and Tomlinson bringing a work ethic, establishing himself as a hard worker, and then also talking about the idea of just Texans are going to be a physical team, which obviously that's just general with this team. He said that that's the playing the right type of way is playing physical football. I guess if you wanted to interpret that way, you absolutely could. Yeah. Look at the former number 78 for the Houston Texans. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Another day. Another Texans training camp practice out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center. But coming up next, especially with Fig back, let's get some lunchtime confessions as we always do.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, I gotta tell you guys, I am digitally free hanging today, and it feels wonderful and awesome.
I don't like that at all.
The
image that you just painted for the general listening audience, mind you, during a lunchtime.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
But it's accurate. I do not have a laptop. Reggie, on the other hand, has two.
Correct.
My laptop yesterday, right after the show, fried up. I'm doing everything off the phone right now, so my laptop fried. But that's part of the confession that I'm digitally free hanging. The other part of the confession is not only is this refreshing, but I realize better reason than new computers when it gets real hot, they have a sensor that turns them off, and you have to take the back off the laptop and reset the whole damn thing.
Huh?
So I just didn't go to Best Buy. I just went to old YouTube and figured out how to get it done. But thankfully, the laptop is back in working order. Did you know that? That these new laptops, they have a sensor that'll just shut it out completely and you're done?
Is that so for all laptops, or is that just the brand
that
you
Lenovo. Got? The Lenovo. Okay. I had the Lenovo in it, so.
I didn't. Yeah. I'm not frequently in circumstances where I'm overheating the laptop.
Yeah.
But,
But.
Okay.
The good news is everything's right in the palm of your hand these days.
What a world we live in.
Be careful with that phone, too. The phones do the same thing. It happens when the phones overheat a little bit. It stop.
Well, thank you, Figgy.
Oh, my goodness. These are my confessions. All right, so we found out yesterday that the Titans made a move. They went ahead and parted ways with Treylon Burks, former Arkansas Hog, and he was supposed to be the new A.J. Brown when they traded away A.J. Brown. They used one of the draft picks that they got back in that A.J. Brown trade in order to get Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, I mean, I thought he was going to be cold.
I did too, to be honest.
Was so wrong. Mm-hmm. I was so very incorrect. And this one goes, I think, on the Mount Rushmore of the Reggie was wrongs. Mm-hmm. I feel like we all have our, damn, I was way wrong on that one.
Yeah.
This one goes on, because I swore, and this is part of the hubris that comes from being a big college football watcher, because I remember watching him in Arkansas, and he was a menace out there. Big body guy, has a, good wiggle to him, good speed. And I was like, man, this dude is the truth. And I was like, all right, that makes perfect sense. Don't bet on the quote-unquote aging kind of guy.
Yeah.
Let him move on. Don't pay him crazy. Get a younger guy that can do the deal. Boom. You're in the – and you get additional draft capital. Mm-hmm. Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Well, I'm with you in that take. I thought he was going to be real good too. But that's not the first thing I thought of. First thing I thought of was Mike Vrabel.
Mm.
Remember when they traded A.J. Brown? And he was making faces and
yes, yes,
and wondering what the hell are you doing?
I bet Vrabel is, Vrabel probably say the nastiest thing about the Titans when he's away from a microphone. When he's just with his homeboys,
yeah.
Does he have homeboys that he hangs out? I feel like coaches are so sick. He's just with his other coaches. But whenever he has an opportunity,
he couldn't even hide it. He was like, "You're doing what?"
He probably says the meanest things about the Titans, and he probably. I mean, it's earned.
And he's largely right.
It is earned and deserved.
Yeah.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
These are my confessions. So I got to do a little piggyback confession off of Lopez's confession with his laptop. I guess thought it was fried. So you text us in the group chat pretty much telling us what was going on with your laptop.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. We kind of joking around a little bit. I told him Reggie let you borrow one of his.
Yeah.
And Reggie said, nope.
Nope.
He said, hell no. Nah. But I was wondering, like, man, it seemed like Lopez kind of freaking out a lot over this. I'm like, damn, he must really be focused on his work. And come to find out. My confession is, I don't think he was focused on his work at all. He was focused on the damn podcast and the OG sauce.
Hey, that's work.
I think that's the real, because I was sitting there, I'm like, man, Lopez over here crashing out over something, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, he went to training camp without a laptop before, so I'm sure he could do this without. And after you said more about the, man, I got the podcast, I got the OG, I'm like, this is what it is, man.
Well, my defense.
Because even Reggie even offered, he said, hey, why don't you go to our engineer to get you a work laptop? He said, nah, man, I got the podcast, the OG sauce, man. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't want those work people to know all about my business, about my private business. No, I knew I could do most of the show on the phone, but everything on the podcast and OG Sauce is on my laptop. So I was like, oh, boy, that's going to be a problem.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, why is he crashing out over there? He could just get a work laptop. I'm like, I mean, he's just going to Canada, get a work laptop. I'm like, oh, you more worried about the business part of it than us.
Man, I had the show unlocked.
You ain't thinking about us. You're thinking about the podcast. So I'm like, I understand it.
Figgy, I'm always thinking about you.
That sounds like a threat.
These are my confessions.
So you saw the news on Marcus Morris?
Yeah.
Obviously, so you got to bear with me on my confession, because he was arrested for fraud, apparently bad checks with businesses, bad checks with Las Vegas.
Is it wrong that, like, part of my brain goes, in the year of our Lord 2025, if you're using a check, I kind of have half of mine that you're scamming? Is that wrong?
No, I don't think so. But okay. Some places would, you know, big money, you want to write a check or whatever for trips and stuff. And so I get he's gonna pay the price. He's, you know, the law is going to come and do its part, et cetera. But this is my confession. Even when it's their own damn fault, like with Marcus Morris, I just feel such a sense of waste and such. It just breaks my heart, because so many people get this money and have no idea, number one, who's trying to steal it from them, number two, who's giving them bad advice, and number three, how to actually manage their money. I get he broke the law, allegedly, according to the charges. But it still just broke my heart.
The legal team thanks you for that.
It just broke my heart. It just seems like it's constantly a waste.
No, for sure. Like, it's I always go, you know, harken back to, what was it, the Pablo Torre Sports Illustrated article broke that ultimately led to that 30 for 30. Man, It's a lot of money these dudes have, right, or are able to earn by playing these sports. It's a lot of people who are wolves in sheep's clothing trying to go and get an easy payday off of some dudes that have oftentimes dedicated their life to sports and not necessarily had the same level of, I don't know, attention and care to how that money ultimately gets used. And as you mentioned, sometimes they trust the wrong people.
Yeah.
I also learned about that in taking flack, right? Like Dan Pastorini had.
He lost a lot.
Lost a lot of money, trusting people that you would imagine were trustworthy.
His
that ultimately
brother.
Took And brother-in-law and sister. Yeah, yeah man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
These are my confessions. Look, I love the partnership that we have with the Texans, the ability to be out here at training camp with pretty good vantage points of everything. However, if I was inclined to be conspiratorial, right, and if I thought, you know, that maybe, just maybe, the Texans didn't like us as much as I know that they do, I would honestly think that they were trying to make it as hard as possible. Some might say impossible to see what's happening in 11-on-11. Because I swear to God, at any given point during team or 7-on-7, the offensive line, who are not actually on the field, the offensive players, it feels like when they go through their rundown of what they're working on the day, they get to the end of it and they go, all right, so make sure at any given point y'all are between the action and those red tents over there where Sports Radio 610 is. Because I swear every time that I'm watching 11-on-11. The media tent over there also, I think the defensive guys handle the rest of the media and the offense handle us. We gotta look through bodies. Thankfully, you know, you have your ways of being able to tell what's happening. But nah, I'm not. Look, again, I don't believe that to be the case. I think that just kind of happens naturally. Guys spread out and have their opportunities to try and see what's happening on the field. But I'm like, hey, how are y'all always in my way?
Maybe if Jack Easterby was still here,
all right,
he'd be on to something. Remember, he put that scoreboard up. He put that scoreboard up to block the view, like literally a scoreboard.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like he would be very intentional. I don't think it's intentional in any ways. And it's been fun to be able to still see some big plays happen for the team here from the 972. They say, I confess I'm no longer worried about the O-line with second picks and a wide receiver surplus. Nick Casera, rather, will make a trade for another offensive guard. That is an interesting place to go because myself and Lopez, before this segment, were just talking about the idea that I don't know if I'm betraying trust at all. I don't know that I'm sold yet on the offensive line.
Like,
we talked to Lakin Tomlinson. We'll hear that here in just a moment. We've seen the offensive line get out here with pads and be better than they were those first 4 days. But that doesn't say that they're going to go and be a consistent offensive line.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think the D'Amico Ryans has given us any level of, like, you know, affirmative kind of evaluation of the offensive line even now that pads are on. There's still work to be done, and there's still, you know, progress that needs to be made, and they need to show and prove still. So, I mean, I'm encouraged that they're out here, that there's a lot of competition. It feels like, as Nick Casario was talking about, we'll hear from him as well, that they're starting to maybe within the next week, they'll might kind of solidify who are, you know, the guys that they will lean on majority on the offensive line. But I don't know that we have anything that says definitively that offensive line is going to be good in particular.
I'm with you.
And serviceable is a question that we're still trying to see as well.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop. Those are our lunchtime confessions here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, as I mentioned, we sat down with Lakin Tomlinson fresh off of the practice field. And you get to hear that conversation with Lakin the Jamaican next.
Yep. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. This your man Figgy Fig holding it down. On a Tuesday, happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Day number 6 out there at Texans training camp is officially in the books right now. The OG John Lopez and Reggie Adetula had a lot to say about what was going on in camp. You'll hear that coming up at 1 o'clock, as well as the mixtape at 1:20. But earlier today, offensive lineman Lakin Tomlinson joined in the loop straight off the practice field. He has the things to say about this offensive group, the offensive line, and all that good stuff. Here's Lakin Tomlinson, live from training camp.
That's right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. And in the loop with us and yourself is the presumable, I believe he's the left guard for your Houston Texans. I mean, I'm just going off of what I can see. Maybe he can confirm it for us. It is Lakin Tomlinson. Lakin, what's happening, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm here out here just working, man.
We see it. I wanted to start here because, you know, I was doing a little bit of snooping, and I believe on Instagram – your name appears as Lakin the Jamaican Tomlinson.
Wagwan.
Hey, there we go. I like it. All right, so nicknames is a big deal in sports, especially football. Like, do dudes actually call you the Jamaican, or is that something that you have brought upon yourself?
Nah, it's just something I'm extremely proud about. I take a lot of pride in my heritage. Growing up there, lived in Jamaica for 10 years and moved to the States. So I take a lot of pride, so every time I greet someone, especially in the locker room,
yeah,
I always say, Wagwan.
That's
just my little, my little piece that I share with my teammates.
All right, so you didn't just move to the United States. You moved to Chicago.
Yeah.
Talk about culture shock. Going from Jamaica to Chicago at 10 years old, was that one of those like, hey, I want to go back?
I mean, it was cool seeing snow for the first time. But for like 10 minutes, I was like, yeah, I don't know about this. It was a big culture shock. And, going from, the culture that I had in Jamaica, me and my family, to the inner city of Chicago, it was very different. Different for me as a kid, 10 years old, experiencing new things, living in the inner city and adjusting to all, everything that's going on in the community. It was tough, but, I had uncles that were there, living there. They helped me adjust. And, I had actually a really good mentor I matched up with in the eighth grade that, really took care of me.
And I'm sorry. I don't know if this is accurate or not because it's just from snooping, like Reggie said. Did you play soccer a lot in Jamaica?
Oh, yeah.
And that has to have been
football.
Football, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, we're both soccer guys here, so you're
I'm a football guy.
You're preaching to the choir. We both are big fans. Liverpool, by the way. But anyway.
Also Liverpool?
Nah, I'm just saying.
So how much does that help you once you transition to football?
Man, growing up, I mean, a little bit about me, I was like the youngest of like a group of like 8-9 boys, mm-hmm, growing up in my community. So we competed a lot. So, we played a lot of soccer, a lot of cricket, and I just kind of grew up competing, So that competitive nature as a young age in that environment, it definitely transitioned over when I started playing football, mm-hmm, in the United States, American football in the United States.
Yeah.
And, I did track, I did wrestling, did basketball. I just love to compete, So that childhood that I had definitely helped me a lot in sports.
Now, you compare that, you talk about competition. That's been the watchword, it feels like, for the team here with D'Amico, with Cole. What has been your experience, especially for a vet like you? You've played a lot of places, with being in that O-line room in particular. How does that compare to the other places, other stops you might have made?
No, it's been extremely great. Obviously, working with Pop, and the guys here, Titus, Blake, all those guys that have already been here, it's been great. And, guys are trying to do something special here. Mm-hmm. I can feel that coming in from the get-go. So, it makes it that easy for me to just kind of be myself. Come in, be about my business, come in, be about my work,
mm-hmm,
and, show the team what I can give, as a player.
Yeah.
So it's been great, obviously working with those guys.
So, obviously, the offensive line is trying to set the mindset. Everybody has talked about it. About we're going to establish the mindset. Last couple of days seems to be, pretty successful doing that. Are you guys starting to kind of catch on with collectively what you're trying to do?
We are here just grinding every day. We're working every day, man. And obviously, we're leaning on everything Coach Pop is teaching us. And, we're coming together as a group and trying to build that chemistry one day at a time here in training camp.
Yeah. What about the style of play? Because it's something that you probably are a little familiar with, but it's new for everybody right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. Obviously Nick has a style of offense that he wants to establish here, and guys are buying into it. And, all we can do right now is just come out here with a great attitude and just, work our tails off, And it's been great so far.
Now, you are been playing left guard, and a guy who has popped in at left tackle a little bit has a lot of interest. He's a early round draft pick and big boy. Obviously, Ariate Ursary. What has been able to work next to him and being a vet? What is that relationship? What has that experience been like thus far? And what can you tell us about his development early on?
Ah, man, Tay's been awesome, man. He's a young kid that listens,
mm-hmm,
and obviously, coming with a ton of talent. Being a high draft pick, and what exciting thing about him that the mental steps that he's taken so far. Obviously, he has it physically.
Yeah.
The mental steps he's taken so far, just listening to coaches, listening to the players. We got some vet players in the room. It's been awesome for him, and that can take him a long way. So it's really cool to see that as a young player.
What does he have going for him? Because Titus was talking earlier, or last week maybe, about he's further along than I was, when I came in. What are you seeing from him?
I'm seeing a lot of talent, and that mental. The thing is, that mental step that he's taking. You know, he's executing that on the field.
Yeah.
You know, so when you see that in a young player, man, it's truly awesome because you know that he's sitting down there, he's listening to the coaches, he's listening to the scheme, and then he's trying to figure out, you know, from teammates around him how to execute the scheme at a high level.
Yeah.
So when you see a young guy really buying into that, ooh, it's awesome. It's really awesome. Yeah.
We're talking to Lakin Tomlinson here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm always very intrigued, especially at the offensive line. Those trenches, y'all are athletes. Y'all might be the premier athletes out here on this field. Who's the strongest person that you've played with or against in your career thus far?
Strongest, with or against? We got some pretty strong guys here. I would say, you know, honestly, in my career, I mean, shoot, 11 years, man, I got to watch some tape. But I play against a lot of great people, you know, over the years. But, you know, we got a ton of talent here.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously our defensive line is extremely talented, and it's been amazing working with those guys.
Yeah. So we were talking right before you came up about, and it was a little off sports topic, about things you kind of that irritates you about your job. And I look up, and the entire offensive line is doing push-ups. I'm like, that's got to be irritating for those guys. Because I thought you had a good day. Is that one of the things that – what was going on there?
Man, you know, we have a high expectation for ourselves, you know. Good day, bad day, whatever. We're out here working, you know, and we have the standard that we're trying to establish. And, you know, that's just part of, you know, what everybody's buying into. Mm-hmm. That's what guys came in February, March, April, whenever, how guys were here, however long guys were here. Whenever I came in, I saw everybody working. That's the standard that we established from the get-go. So
you didn't quite feel like you got there.
Man, we're here working. Yeah. And you see something we can do better, we're going to do better. You know what I'm saying? So we're out here working, man, and I'm just so excited that everyone's bought into everything that we got going on. Coach Pop doing an amazing job with the guys in the room. And, man, it's been awesome.
Now, look, I might be treading, a tight rope here. So you could just plead the fifth if you need to. I'm not trying to get nobody in trouble. But, from the outside, it does seem like this offense has a lot of places that it can go. It feels like it has the possibility of being very multiple. How complex does it feel like, you know, kind of what you're working in on is compared to some of your other stops in your career? Does it feel like it's more? Is it kind of in line with some of the places that you've been?
Man, you can't wait till week one? Yeah, come on, man.
I'm in front of you. We were having a good time. I was just trying to see. And that's why I said, look, you can plead the fifth if you need to. You want to plead the fifth
here?
Come on, man.
I got a question that I know you're going to have a strong opinion on. Who's the greatest reggae artist not named Bob Marley? And why is it Peter Tosh?
Man, you know, they got my man Vibes Cartel right now. He's been a superstar for a really long time, and he's like the next Jamaican icon. He's going global right now, so go check him out, Vibes Cartel.
All right. You a Peter Tosh guy?
Come on, man. Nah. But, you know, there's a lot of young reggae artists coming out there. But Vibe's been around for a while. And, you know, he just came back out. And he's doing his thing, man. Has a couple tours here in the States. And he's moving around.
Last thing from me. This guy doesn't like deep dish pizza.
What do you mean?
Who said that?
You did.
Who said that?
Come on, man.
I prefer a thinner brand of pizza. I'm gonna be honest.
You a New York guy?
I mean, I'm not a New York guy, but I mean, New York style would get me. But the thing that I've heard is that Chicago folks don't even really be eating deep dish like that. Like, that's more of a tourist thing, anyways.
Who said that?
Yeah, you eat deep dish, don't you?
I eat deep dish.
Okay, all right. I could be wrong there.
I mean, am I considered a tourist now that I don't live there?
I don't think so. I would never say that to your face. What's something about offensive line play that we on the outside just don't get right in your perspective?
I mean, a lot of people don't see the amount of work that we put in with offensive linemen. I mean, obviously what people see is the work that we put in games and throughout the season. But there's a lot that goes into offensive line play, especially this day in offensive line. You know, guys are working year-round, and it's a nonstop thing. And when you're thinking about your craft, especially a young player in this day and age in offensive line, you're working year-round.
Yeah.
And, you know, how fast can you develop your technique to be an effective offensive lineman in a league where you can service your team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the challenge right now for young offensive linemen. So a lot of people don't really see that, but when we come out there and we do our thing, they see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they see the production.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to see, and this has been a big story, C.J. Stroud saying, I want more control, more say in things. We're seeing it out on the field. How are you seeing it from where your perspective? C.J. Stroud taking
man,
order.
Man, fantastic young man. He's taking charge of the offense, man, and he's doing his thing out there. I love the way he talks to the guys. You know, he comes up to everybody and talk to him, has our little handshake thing going on. Guys really appreciate stuff like that. And when you have a young guy, you know, a young quarterback that can do that with guys and connect with guys in that type of level, it's fantastic for the offense.
How does he remember all the handshakes?
That's him. He's a quarterback. You got to remember all the plays.
Doesn't he have like 20?
You got like how many plays we got? Exactly. Come on. He's a quarterback now. Come on.
Y'all got one as well?
Yeah, we got one. Okay. All right.
I love that. All right. One of the things about this team is the defensive line is incredible, right? Especially you talk about the ends, Will and Daniil. There's a lot of things to be impressed about. From an offensive line perspective, what catches your attention the most? What is the thing that you go, damn, when you look at those guys' work?
Obviously, you know, these guys are a very physical front, you know, extremely talented. And this has been amazing working with them so far. Really good for us. You know, having Coach Miko has this saying, iron sharpens iron. Right? So we have a defensive line like that, we're only going to make each other better. Yeah. So it's awesome to have that in training camp.
Last thing for me anyway, culture is another catchphrase here. It seems to be very real. Everywhere you've been, as long as you've played, people always talk about culture. Is it just more real in some places than others?
It's definitely a real thing, man. And, you know, I've been places, you know, where I get to experience great culture, and this is definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, with Coach Miko setting the tempo, having the coaches in the building, the staff in the building, down to, you know, everybody. You know, the culture here is amazing, and guys feel it, and we're trying to express that on the field, too.
All right, before we let you go, I know you're a video game guy, but I think there's two types of video game guys, right? I think there's, like, I play sports games, and I play, like, Elden Ring and all those types of games. What kind of video game guy are you?
Ah, man. Okay. So I'm kind of a little bit all over the place.
Uh-huh.
You know, I definitely first person, you know, FPS.
Yes, okay. Call of Duty, Battlefield type games.
Yeah, but I'm a like an intense like fighting game guy though.
Oh,
Mortal Kombat. You know, like Street Fighter, like old school type. I'm like hardcore. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Smash Brothers. That's what we played when we was a kid.
We can get together on Smash Brothers.
You don't want no smoke.
What's the main on Smash Bros?
Fox. I'm talking about OG Smash.
Okay. I'm a Kirby guy, so you're probably not going to like me. And I'm a button masher on Mortal Kombat.
See,
I done messed it all up here, right?
Yeah.
Lakin, we appreciate you sitting down with us. Appreciate you giving us a little bit of time, and hopefully we have a really good season where your name doesn't get called at all, because obviously that's a good thing for the offensive
line. Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you stopping by. That's Lakin Tomlinson, offensive lineman for your Houston Texans here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you jumping in with us. I feel like now we have to go around the NFL, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
So I guess let's jump right from Lakin Tomlinson. Again, appreciate him sitting down with us. Why'd you say reggae like that?
Reggae. You always got to say reggae.
He said reggae.
Reggae.
I feel like that was
That's
also
how the OGs say it.
See?
Look it up.
I don't like that that's your excuse every time. It's just that's how the OGs say it.
That's the first time I've ever used that excuse in my life. In my life, that's the first time, because it was appropriate. Ask any OG. It's reggae.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that, OG. I don't know if people say reggae like that, but salute to Lakin Tomlinson. Lakin the Jamaican, who joined the guys live at training camp in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got more camp nugs, more reaction to what the guys saw out there at camp. As day 6 of training camp is in the books, keep it locked, it's in the Loop.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.